Welcome to Upon This Rock with pastor and Bible teacher Chris McCarrick of Cornerstone Calvary Chapel. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by God's Word.
Paul wanted the Corinthians to walk in the power of Christ, not in their own strength and ability. And when you walk in conceit and arrogance and pride, you do not trust in the power of Christ.
Jesus, you're my everything. My heart beats for you. Filled with power and mystery, Lord, I thirst for you. You are everything. You are everything. Lord, you are beautiful, awesome and wonderful.
On today's edition of Upon This Rock, as we continue our study through the book of 1 Corinthians, we continue a six-part study titled Servant Leadership. Here is Pastor Chris now with a teaching from 1 Corinthians chapter 4.
I always remember listening to Alan Redpath, who at the time had been in the ministry for 60 years when I got a hold of these tapes that he had given at a pastor's conference. Alan Redpath was an old-time preacher, part of the Keswick conferences over in England. And I remember listening to him, and he would start out the pastor's conference with this prayer. He'd say, "Oh Lord, would you break me?" And I'd think to myself, you've been in the ministry for 60 years, and you're not broken yet? And at first it would like really bother me, and then I'd realize, well, wait a minute. You know, it is a continual process. It never stops. God's always breaking us. He's always showing us our arrogance and our spiritual pride. And here Paul cares so much about these Corinthians. He wants them to see, look, you guys are prideful, and you need to see what a real servant is, what a real servant leader is. And that's what they needed. They thought too highly of themselves. They were conceited and prideful and arrogant. And he said, you know, they say, they're acting like they're king's kids and they're reigning. And he says, well, one day you will reign. You know, in a sense, they would, but not yet. And when they were reigning, when they would ultimately reign in Christ, Paul would be right alongside them reigning too. But he's saying, it's not ready. We're not ready for that yet. You're still humble servants. And so then Paul goes into how he and the other apostles are an example in many different ways as a servant leader. And Paul was a great example. And he points this out in the next verse, in verse 9, he says that they've become a spectacle. He says, I think that God has displayed us, the apostles, last as men condemned to death, for we have been made a spectacle to the world, both to angels and to men. God raised up the apostles as a group of men who were spectacles. They're being watched by the world, but not in a way of respect. A spectacle was this. The world, in contrast to Christ and his ministers, Paul used this. And when he uses a sarcasm, let me give you another wording in the way he uses divine sarcasm and sort of what he's saying. He's saying, you Corinthians, you brag about one another, you compare one man to another as though you were kings on a throne. How wonderful it must be to reign as a king and look down on others. I wish I could reign with you, but no, I must be a hated apostle, a spectacle for the world, a fool for Christ's sake. And the picture that he's painting here of a familiar is a familiar one to them. That when a victorious general would come back from war, he was given a huge parade, a glorious parade down the street. And as a way of boasting, he would display all the leadership, the generals and such of the army that he had defeated. And then lastly came the soldiers who were to be thrown to the wild beasts. They were called the spectacles, those soldiers. And Paul is comparing himself and the other apostles as ones who are appointed to death for Christ's sake, that while the Christian Corinthians were boasting in front of the parade, Paul and the other apostles were at the end of the parade being ready to be put to death for the cross. And he says that as this is happening, angels are looking into both sides of this. And I think angels were probably, as they look into what goes on in this world and look at our lives, look at Paul's life back then, look at the people back then, they probably marveled. And I think they marveled at two things. And I wonder, you know, you wonder if they had some angelic conversations, you know, the two of them, two angels, you know, having a conversation, Gabriel and another angel, just kind of talking about what's going on down in heaven, down on earth. Looking at Paul and going, man, what a servant that guy is. Look at him. He's willing to lay down his life and look what he goes through in all his life. And then looking at these Corinthians who also were Christians, who were also redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, who also had been changed by Jesus Christ, but yet looking at them going, man, why did the Lord do that for them? Kind of wondering, like almost wondering, what is it? What's with these Corinthian believers? I think they were amazed at the whole concept of salvation and the human race. And the apostles also were written off as fools. Look at verse 10. He says, we're fools for Christ's sake, but you're wise. Look at the sarcasm again. We are weak, but you are strong. You are distinguished. We are dishonored. Paul was a fool for Christ. And the Corinthians were wise in their own eyes. And the foolish wisdom is what made Paul and Apollos and the other apostles great men of God. These Corinthians, they were blind to themselves. They're much like the church of Laodicea. Turn over with me to Revelation chapter 3 for a moment. Revelation chapter 3, in verse 14, it says, to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say, and look at how this correlates to what the Corinthians are like. You say, I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. You see, that's the thing. These Corinthians did not realize how messed up they were and how they needed the grace of God upon their life, the mercy of God upon their life. And this is such a problem, I believe, today, especially in the American church. Because we are a prideful people by nature. We so need to be broken. He goes on to say, notice verse 20 or verse 19, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten, therefore be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him and he with me. Now, we always use that verse, often use that verse in relationship to salvation, but this is being written to a church. And he realized that many in the church need to repent and really be saved. Many in the church need to repent, and even if they are saved, they need to get right with God. And Paul is saying to this Corinthian church, which was so corrupt and so messed up, that they needed change. They needed to open their eyes. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit has to say to the church. Well, back to 1 Corinthians in verse 10, he says there also, we are weak, but you are strong. Paul learned that when I am weak, then I am strong. You see, they were self-confident, and that was part of the problem. Overconfident and arrogant. Their strength was their downfall. They thought they were so strong and they could handle everything. You know, this is what happened to the Apostle Peter when he denied the Lord. You think about this. He told the Lord that he would never deny him and that he would fight for him to the death. You remember that? And yet, he didn't, did he? I believe he had every intention of doing so. I believe that he was right there. And when he pulled that sword out in the garden, I think, man, this is it. I'm ready to die with you, Jesus. And he went to stab Malchus and he missed and cut his ear. And then the Lord healed his ear. And I think Peter was like, what are you doing? I think when that ear got healed, Peter was like, Lord, don't you get it? We got to fight. And Jesus was like, not with swords and clubs. Our fight is different. And he healed the ear. And we know that Peter ran away and wept. And then he denied the Lord. You see, he didn't realize it was a spiritual battle. Peter didn't quite get it. He had too much confidence in his own ability. We need to put our trust in God. You see, it says also in verse 10, the end of verse 10, you are distinguished, but we are dishonored. They were laughed at, the apostles. Tradition tells us that Paul the apostle was often ridiculed even because of his stature, because he was a very short man. And he didn't have what was considered a public presence about him, in a sense. This is one of the reasons the Corinthians were comparing him to Apollos, because Apollos was this great orator. And you know, Christianity is very much dishonored in the public arena today. And you know what, guys? It's likely to get worse before it gets better. it's likely to get much worse. The apostles were treated, mistreated. Jesus said that a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you also. We have gone unscathed when it comes to persecution in our nation. But all around the world, Christians are being persecuted and even put to death. We need to realize that it's likely coming to America. Also, it tells us the apostles here were often hungry and thirsty and poorly clothed and beaten and homeless. Paul was mistreated. He and Silas were beaten and put into a dungeon in Philippi. They were regularly persecuted. He was a night and a day in the deep. He was shipwrecked. In fact, in 2 Corinthians, turn over there to 2 Corinthians chapter 11 with me and keep your finger there as we look at verse chapter 12 a little bit too. But these apostles were brutally treated and homeless. Verse 23 of 2 Corinthians chapter 11 says this: "Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequently, in deaths often. From the Jews, five times I received 40 stripes minus one." That means five times he was beaten with 39 lashes. That's what Jesus got once. Paul got it five times. "Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I've been in the deep." You know, look at what this guy's been through. "In journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among the false brethren." He had perils everywhere. "In weariness and toil and sleeplessness often, and hunger and thirst and fastings often, and cold and nakedness." We don't go through this. And then he says, "And besides the other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. Who is weak and I am not weak? Who is made to stumble and I do not burn with indignation? If I must boast," and here's the thing where we look at 1 Corinthians, we see how they're boasting. Paul says, "If I'm going to boast, I will boast in the things which concern my infirmity. Because in that, God can be glorified." Also there in verse 12 in 1 Corinthians, you don't need to go back there. It says, "We labor, working with our own hands, being reviled. We bless, we being persecuted, we endure." Paul and the other apostles were not afraid of hard work. They didn't mind getting their hands dirty. And they reviled, even though they were reviled, being reviled, "We bless, we persecute, we endure." They learned what Jesus said when he said to bless those who persecute you and pray for those who despitefully use you and love your enemies. And then in verse 13 of 1 Corinthians chapter 4, where we read that, listen to this one carefully. "Being defamed, we entreat, being made as the filth of the world, the offscouring of all things until now." What is this offscouring? Well, you ladies know what this is. When you leave a pot on the stove and it burns some stuff on the bottom, and then you leave it till the next morning because you don't have time to clean it up the night before, or your husband's too lazy to help you. And you wake up the next morning and it's all this stuff is crusted and burnt onto the bottom. That's the offscouring. And you know, you have to get in there with a Brillo pad and some real hot water, and you gotta scrape it and scrape it, and that junk that's there. That's what Paul says he is. He says, "I'm the offscouring." But you know what's interesting and amazing? Is God uses offscouring. He takes the offscouring of the world, if you will, and he says, "I'm going to mold this. I'm going to use this." That's why you don't need to be anything to be a Christian and be used by God. Not many noble, not many mighty, not many of good report. He uses the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and the weak things of the world to put to shame those who are mighty. Chapter 12 of 2 Corinthians. You see, what we need to do is we need to see ourselves as we really are. And Paul himself had to go through a breaking process in order to get there. In chapter 12, I'm going to read it quickly. Good thing for you to review and kind of read over on your own. He says, "It is doubtless profitable for me to boast. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord." Verse 1. "I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body or I do not know, or out of the body I do not know. God knows. For such a one was caught up in the third heaven." So he's talking about a vision that someone had. Then he says, I know such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. So he must make sure you know. Both times, he doesn't know whether it was in the body or out of the body. God knows. Such a one was caught up to the third heaven, how he was caught up into paradise and heard inexpressible words, verse 4, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. This is Paul. He's talking about himself. And he's saying he can't really talk about it. It's not lawful for him to talk about it. And he didn't talk about it for 14 years. And he said, of such a one I will boast, yet I myself will not boast except in my infirmities. For though I might desire to boast, I will not be a fool, for I will speak the truth. But I refrain lest anyone should think me above what he sees me to be or hears me. And here's how we know it's him. And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of revelations. So he's clearly saying he's the one that had this revelation. But here's what he says. A thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Paul says, hey, I received a thorn in the flesh. And the Lord had to break me. The Lord had to show me that I can't depend on myself and I'm not so strong myself. And he said, concerning this, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. He said, Lord, take this thing away from me. This is the great apostle Paul who touched other people and were healed. And yet he's asking for a healing himself and he wasn't healed. And this was a thorn in the flesh, which means we know this was a physical ailment Paul had. We don't know what it was. Some hint in studying these things, and it's possible that it was some sort of eye disease, because he says to the Galatians, look at what large letters I write this with, and he says, I know that you would give me your eyes if you could. And so perhaps it was glaucoma or something where, you know, some degenerated eye disease. We don't know. Very common in those days. But look what he says in verse 9. And this is where we need to go with all of our lives. He says, and he said to me, Jesus said to Paul, and Jesus says to you today, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in what? Weakness. Weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Listen, here is the point, folks. Paul wanted the Corinthians to walk in the power of Christ, not in their own strength and ability. And when you walk in conceit and arrogance and pride, you do not trust in the power of Christ. Paul and the other apostles realized that they were simply vessels to be used by the Lord in whatever way he desires. He talks in another place about being a vessel of honor or a vessel of dishonor and how some of us are, you know, our clay pots used by God, a bunch of crackpots is what we are. But he pours his life into us and through us, and we can then glorify his name. See, he knew, and the other apostles knew, that in their flesh there was nothing redeemable. So if his flesh suffered, so what? It was for the glory of God. See, they understood that although they were a spectacle, although they looked like fools, although they were weak, although they were laughed at, although they were hungry and thirsty and beaten, and even considered the off-scouring of the world, they were destined for heaven, that this was not their home, and that none of that mattered, and they were going to proclaim the name of Jesus Christ and glorify the name of Jesus Christ. And Paul's trying to train the Corinthians and tell the Corinthians, listen, this is what it is to really live the Christian life. So stop your lifting one person up above another. Stop your arguing and your divisions and your foolishness. He's rebuking them. Their pride and their arrogance and their deceit. That as long as they held on to that, their Christianity would be impotent. Paul wanted the Corinthians to experience all that they could in Christ, and they would not be able to do so unless they laid down their pride and repented. And so too with us. If we really want to be used by God, if you really desire for God to be your all in all, you've got to lay down your pride. You've got to lay down your arrogance. And you say, well, Pastor Chris, I don't think I'm prideful. Yeah? Okay. I remember I went to my first pastor years ago. And I went to him, I said, Pastor John, I'm struggling with pride in my life. And he looked at me, and he was taller than me, he looked down at me, and he said, why? You got nothing to be proud of. And I remember thinking, wow, that hurts. But you know what's interesting? I never forgot that. And it is really true. Because there's not a one of us in this room that have anything to be proud of. What did we gain of our own? Anything we have that's been given to us, it's a gift of God. It's not ours. So we have nothing to be proud of in that sense. And so Paul says, I'll boast. You know what I'm going to boast in? I'm going to boast that I was beaten. I'm going to boast that I was mistreated. I'm going to boast that I was shipwrecked, and I was sick, and I was hungry, and I almost died all these various times. And he's boasting in those things because those are the things he's doing on the behalf of Christ. He's doing that because he's serving Christ. You see, you got to remember who Paul could have been. Paul was a Pharisee of Pharisees, a Hebrew of Hebrews. By this time in Paul's ministry, when he writes 1 Corinthians, he might have been one of the head honchos in Jerusalem. One of the top Pharisees who ever lived. Paul says, who needs it? I don't need any of that. I want to be a fool for Christ. I want to be a spectacle. I'll be thrown in the arena. I don't care. I want to die for him. I'll die in Christ, and I will let God be glorified through me. You see, Paul was saying to the Corinthians, you need to see yourself as you really are, not as you think you are. And as Paul saw them, arrogant and prideful, needing to be broken. And some of us are probably in that place in our own lives.
You've been listening to Upon This Rock with Pastor Chris McCary. As we bring this program to a close today, we'd like to remind you that you can have a CD copy of today's message by emailing us at info@cstonecc.org or giving us a call at 732-901-5525. For more information about our ministry, visit us on the web at cstonecc.org. When you get in touch with us, just ask for CD number UTR4618. Thanks for joining us for this edition of Upon This Rock. Join us next time as we continue our study through the book of 1 Corinthians. Lord, you are beautiful, awesome and wonderful.